And we are on live with Noonie Man, otherwise known as Belden Batiste, from the very famous Batiste family here in New Orleans. Welcome, Noonie Man. How are you?
I'm feeling good.
Good. And you're getting ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for Mardi Gras.
All right. Well, that's quite a lot of work. Why don't you let listeners know a little bit about the tradition and the events going on all year leading up to tomorrow?
Yes, we're ready for Mardi Gras. We're getting ready. Big Chief Darryl will be retiring. This is his last year after 50 years.
Oh, that's Big Chief Darryl of Montana, right?
Gang to Shaka, Big Chief Shaka, and Darryl has made an amazing suit. This is his last suit, so we'll be leaving Parga. I'm at St. Bernard in Villery at about 9:30, 10 o'clock. This is his last year, and he have an amazing suit for the whole community to see.
And just for listeners, that's Darryl Montana, Big Chief of the Yellow Pocahontas, masking for years, took over from his father who passed away in 2005. Very dramatically giving a speech at city council regarding oppression of the culture of Mardi Gras Indians. Had a heart attack right there at the podium in the city council chambers and passed away. They'll be leaving from the house, yeah? And you mask Yellow Pocahontas now, Noonie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your position with the gang?
Yes, I'm Mass Flag Boy, and we'll be leaving about 9:30, 10 o'clock on Mardi Gras Day. Right. And we're looking very forward to it. This is his last year, and he got a big, amazing suit that's going to shock the world.
He always has an amazing suit. Different themes, yes, every year. Is there a theme this year?
Yeah, his theme is This Is It. The last suit he's calling, This Is It. So,
cool.
You know, that's his theme. And the whole gang is going to be exciting. The whole gang is going to be pretty, you know. And so we definitely are ready for, you know, Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
we're more disgusted with the city of New Orleans because on Mardi Gras, we are the Mardi Gras Indians and the culture, and they don't do nothing to help us. We just left like about 3 Thursdays ago from down there where they was trying to make the Mardi Gras Indians get permits to walk the street on Mardi Gras. And so we went down there and we let them know that we wouldn't get no permits and we wasn't paying for no permits because we do this for our communities, and we do this for the city, and we bring billions. We bring $6.2 billion here for the Indians and Mardi Gras, and they want us to get a permit, the city officials. So we're very disgusted with them.
How can you get a permit for what? Just to walk around the city wherever you want to go?
Saying we need a permit for Mardi Gras Day. It was pushed by Stacey Head, Council Lady Stacey Head. But the worst thing was all the councilmen were gunning for it, the councilmen, the councilwoman. So when we showed up, at the last minute, they went Rhoda Arden's in at the second line, and the Mardi Gras Indians the Mardi Gras Indians don't have to pay for a permit fee, and they wanted, like, the second line. When they second line, they waived, like, a lot of, they waived, like, a lot of fees, so they were trying to make them pay, too. So we stood up for the Indians in the second line, but the worst thing was the councilmen were trying to do that, but, you know, you have all these other festivals, decorative and all that. I don't have nothing against it, but they don't make them pay no fees, so why attack the culture?
Right. Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
How much? They were trying to attack the culture, and we started the attack in multicultural tourism that stole $590,000. They didn't do that. Started the going after the convention, the convention tourism board that stole $228 million of the taxpayers' money that the Indians do not get near a dollar from. We don't get no money from nothing. And none of these councilmen got the culture on the agenda. But what they don't understand, Janet, is that we teach the young kids to stop the violence and put down the guns and push with the needle and the thread. Use the needle and the thread as your weapon. And we can't get grants. We can't get nothing. We don't get no funding or nothing. And none of the councilmen are concerned about that. But they say they're concerned about stopping violence and doing that. They're not concerned about that. They want to take the culture.
Right.
Even when you take the musician village,
right,
where Indians stay, where the old Indians stay, where the band leaders play, they are living in mold down there. None of the councilmen have said nothing about it, none of them. So what we are doing is, after Mardi Gras, we picking people to run against them, you know, and we calling it the Get Information Crew and We the People. And I will be stepping up to run for city council, because if the people don't want it, we don't need it, you know. But I want to get this culture thing. I want to get this violence thing. And we asking them, we didn't ask the city like 9-10 times, let us have the kids, at-risk kids, and help us just put some kind of funds behind us and give us a building and let us work with them. Because if they're throwing the needle and they got us throw 16, 17 hours, 9 hours, or whatever, they're not going to be out there. And we trying to keep this culture so that the young people can keep it for generations gone. But, you know, we having a problem with the city of New Orleans.
Right. Well, and you're referencing, just for listeners, there was a Lee Zurich investigation on Fox 8. That's WVUE, regarding money that was was stolen or misused out of the money that's generated for cultural events in New Orleans, including
the
Indians and second lines.
$228 million that were stolen because they went on trips, they bought steaks, and they drunk champagne. Lee Zurich did the investigation in the multicultural tourism, but they don't want to do it because all that is what a thing I call kin, skin, and friend. That's their kin folks, that's their friends, and all of them are together. Because if they got $228 million sitting there, why is the Mardi Gras Indians hurting? Some don't have health care. Some of the Indians got mental problems, something you've been working on and been a true advocate of, opening charity hospital. Let's get these Indians the help they need. Let's get these people the help they need. But we're not on none of the council people agenda. And, you know, so we keep pushing this Mardi Gras because we take food off our table just to mask. And none of them, if you're not in the clique, they're not going to help you.
Right, and it seems it's an ongoing issue with that.
We're ready, and what we're trying to do, we're trying to bring. You're gonna see a lot of kids out now because I've been pushing this thing called the Global Youth Festival, and it goes through March the 6th through March the 12th. We end on March the 12th with a Global Youth Super Sunday, and what that is. I ask everybody to come out and support the youth, to let them know that we care, and we can't get the city officials to come out.
Yeah.
We can't get the city officials to come talk to the youth. For a whole week, we got activities. We can't get them to talk to the youth, you know. So we try to make them mad, bring them into the culture at 3 to 4 where they love this, encourage some of the crime.
Right.
And if
you look at the
Indians and you look at the kids and you talk to the kids, they'll tell you that by them sewing Indian suits, that keep them from hurting somebody or doing whatever, because we teach them to fight with the new and the.
Yeah, and just for listeners,
and
I'm just going to interrupt you for a minute because I want listeners to know that when you're talking about permit fees for events, Mardi Gras Indian tradition isn't, you know, when gangs come out of their houses and walk around the city and their neighborhoods and so on, it's not like a planned event where they're going to be in one place or they're taking one route.
That's right.
It's a group of people that have a spiritual tradition that sew together and sing together and dance together all year round, and then on Mardi Gras Day come out of their homes and you know, and then walk the neighborhood, meeting their neighbors, meeting other Indian gangs. There's a tradition that goes back a long time about the protocol for one gang meeting another gang.
That's right.
Which is really, if for listeners that haven't, and maybe Nuni, you can talk about this a little if you want to, but it's not, so, I mean, how can you charge a permit for that? Like, what were they trying to get things? And it doesn't make sense to have, again, you're talking about austerity. You're talking about where we're seeing, you know, a very wealthy elite class who are, you know, who are using money generated from the culture for their own benefit or for their own, as you put it, stakes and trips and so on. And the people are not getting, and the people that are creating, that are generating the interest in the city are not getting anything back to help themselves. And
they're
like health care and mental health care and so on. And I know
you
also were really wanting to open an anger management center in your community, which help youth with anger management issues. And, you know, what would be the holdup for doing something like that?
Yeah. It started in 1724 with the Mardi Gras Indians walking up by a guy named Baquet Baptiste. And then Thule Montana taught the Indians to fight with the needle and started fighting. And then we hear they tried to really
fight with the needle, meaning to sew. The tradition changed from being a violent tradition to a cultural tradition, right?
And we heard, well, how we got to the city council fee thing, they tried to sneak it in. Because a lot of people don't go to the meeting, but I was down there, a couple of people, and we read the language, and it was introduced by Stacey Hay. And when she introduced it, and we went down there, you know, they was like, oh, it's not true. But then they saw the Indians, and then we looked, and you can go get the resolution. They did a resolution. They did it. And you can look at the document. It was landed on at the last minute, at the last part of the page, when they saw we all showed up. And we told them 3 years ago, well, 4 years, when Tootie died, right after Tootie died, they tried to make us get permits.
Yeah,
but every time they keep on trying to attack this Mardi Gras Indian culture. But when the media comes around, they put on this big front like they really care. But if somebody stole $228 million of taxpayer money that the culture brought here, like Megan.
You're talking about the Lee Zurich investigation on about the convention center.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody should be in jail for this. But because they're friends of the ten people that run New Orleans, see, they got 10 people that run New Orleans. And if you know, they run the whole New Orleans, and they're going to run for the mayor race. One is Karen Carter Peterson. You got Ike Spear. You got Blair Boutique. You got Cedric Richmond. That's four of them. Them four is controlling New Orleans right now. And if they don't get stopped, they are trying to run the Indians and the second line and the culture people and just the poor people, not just blacks, whites out of New Orleans. They're building all kinds of complexes. The mayor wants this to be a tourism. And next year, 2018, they got $20 million, all right? They got $20 million, and it's supposed to be the 300 years that the French found New Orleans, which is not true. But they got culture money in that, right? But none of the culture people is at the table. The mayor didn't put his personal cultural, he calling them the culture ambassadors like he did with Irving Mayfield when he stole all library money. And none of the people at the cultural is at the table. But guess what the mayor doing? He getting that money the way he wanted to go. You know, they got this federal grant. Washington, D.C. sent a lot of culture money. The council people have culture money. But they don't give none of that money to the Indian gangs. And what I'm saying is the Indian gang, the tribes, I'm talking about the youth. See, they should be concerned and happy that the youth doing something worthwhile. But we can't get them to do nothing. And so, you know, I didn't put a group together, and we meet every Saturday at 6117 in St. Cloud. We're running against everybody in the city.
And what time do you meet on Saturdays?
We meet every Saturday at 2 o'clock down at 6117 in St. Cloud. And so even with the Global Youth Fest I'm doing next week, do you know, because I spoke out against the Mardi Gras Indians, I speak out against things, they don't want help to you. They don't want help to you. But I met a brother in the Fresh Quarters, and I like to see this. He was a white brother, and he saw the cars I was passing out. He said, look, I don't have much money. I got a new cafe. He said, for your youth festival, I'm going to give you $1,000. He gave me $1,000 to fly a group that we bringing in from out of town here. The dude, the guy, he owned the cafe, he didn't know me, Adam and Eve. The city officials got all kinds of grants. They got the Wisner grant. They got all kinds of grants. But if you're not in the clique, they're not giving you nothing. And our kids are dying on the street. The culture, they're trying to make this culture die. They wanted to die out, but as long as I live, we're going to make it happen for the youth, you know. So you know, and the Big Chief role, I want to tell people just a little about the Big Chief role. When you're a Big Chief, you got a lot of Big Chiefs out there, but you are over the community. You're like a seeker in the community. When people have a problem, they're supposed to be able to come to the Big Chief. And so he's over the group, and they're supposed to work in their community. Then you got the second chief. He's there, the Big Chief not. But if they're not there, I'm the gang flag. That's the gang flag is the next thing to the chief. The spy boy is the eyes of the gang. The wild man is the wildest out of all. And the flag boy, the spy boy send the signal to the flag boy, and the flag boy send the signal to the chief. Then we got queens. We even got little queens, little queens, and we got big queens. That's the grown women, and little queens are the young girls. But they're not helping nobody here, you know. I want to see this culture live. And, Janet, we're trying to fight, but we're ready for Mardi Gras. We had a good practice last night. We made it around with some gangs. And in the 7th Ward, we got gangs. Uptown, we got gangs, you know. And Bertrand Butler and Howard with Indian Council, I can't leave them out because they're doing some good things. The Indian Council Uptown is doing some good things. And, you know, it's just going to be a nice, beautiful day, you know, for Mardi Gras. And it's going to be interesting. But one thing I like to put out there, Janet, they're about to go up on the second line fees, you know. The now here they go attacking the second line again, you know. They're going up on the fees. But this council, I just don't know what their agenda are, because they went for the Mardi Gras parade. And my thing is this, if you want to do something, tax the clubs. And what I mean by tax the clubs, because when you see children marching all those miles, there's no water after the parade, there's no food for them, Janet, there's nothing for the children, even though some of the schools have, you know, a little water, but we should have things for these children after the parade, and then each child that march in the parade, the school should get $60. There's no money that these groups find. When you take a group like Rex, Rex got a charter where they only pay $750 to $800 a year, while Second Line Club is paying almost $2,500 a year when the Second Line was grandfathered in. But again, city councils and the mayor are leaving them out. They don't care. The mayor got all kind of culture dollars. None of that money have hit New Orleans yet, Janet. They have people from Katrina that sent culture money to the mayor. None of that money is accountable. Even the streets that the Indian Walk all got puddles, all the streets are messed up, and this and that. The mayor got $200 billion, but he's not worried about that. You know what I'm saying, Janet? He's not worried about that, you know? And if you connected to the mayor, that's another player. If you connected to the mayor, you know, you can take anything you want, and you don't get tried for it. Like Urban Midfield went all around there, collected all this money for the culture, stole the library money, and this man is still walking around while you put Red Egg and Bill Jefferson in jail. I just don't understand it.
It is definitely perplexing, I have to say. But Nooni, thank you so much for spending your morning with us.
Jen.
And we're going to have you back on to talk about the Youth Festival as well. So if you're free.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, if you're free this week to talk about that some more.
Any week.
And so, folks, again, if they want to catch Yellow Pocahontas, 9 o'clock.
9:30, St. Bernard and Villery.
St. Bernard and Villery. All right. Well, take care of yourself. Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Janet.
And do stay in touch with us. And we'd love to hear more about the Youth Festival that you're putting on. That sounds really great.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
That's the one.